You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Representative Scott Krug on Friday, August 7th, 2026. Thank you for joining me, Scott, to bring the community an update from the 72nd Assembly District.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love doing it, and it's become our tradition over this summer that I do it from the Rome Farmers Market. It's just, it's always a cool place to find a little time to get away and make a phone call while perusing all the goods and services that Central Wisconsin growers are providing us.
And it's beautiful weather out there today, so I imagine it's rather pleasant.
It is. A little muggy, but we'll take it. I'm not going to complain because October, November, December are coming quicker than you know.
I'm glad you didn't say the word that we don't say during the summer, Scott.
Yeah, we don't say the word. That's right. We just lean towards it. That's right. Yeah.
Right. We dream of cooler temperatures, but
it's ever present. It's always there somewhere.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think that we should spend, and I know you agree with this, we should spend today talking about a topic that is on the top of everyone's minds in Wisconsin Rapids, and that is data centers. You were very vocal lately on Facebook talking about your stance on that, and I would like you to share that with our listeners, please.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching and listening and, you know, digesting all the same information everybody else has been for the last 4 or 5 months since this group put an application in for a proposal for the old mill site. And, you know, April, I was kind of like, all right, wait and see. You know, I've been looking for 6 years for somebody to develop on the mill sites. We had the mill bill. We couldn't get that through. You know, I got vetoed, whatever the politics of it were, you know, but still always looking for the next developer for that site. So when this one shows up April, I'm like, you know, we've always said no to everything Wisconsin Rapids. Let's hear it out a little bit and see what's going on. June rolls around and some of these big tech companies start going to the PSC saying, hey, we'd like to not have to pay all the electrical generation costs. Can you get us out of doing that? I'm like, wait a minute. No, PSC, you decided if they're going to do is they're on their own, they got to pay for these things. Like, let's leave regulations alone. So it's kind of strike one, right? That they came back and said, hey, we need to get off the hook from paying the costs. Strike two was the idea that Eric Adams, the former New York mayor, became a spokesperson for PNK and came to the Wisconsin Rapids Library this past Saturday. And, you know, all the groups are great with live stream and everything. So, yes, some people said, well, why aren't you there? I'm like, well, I can't be everywhere. But I've seen all the live streams and all the news coverage of it and just the audacity that they had coming into Wisconsin Rapids and just telling people, hey, it's just going to be what it is, and whether you like it or not, we're just going to do it. That was kind of strike two, right? So, you know, there's not a complete strike three on all data center proposals for me yet, and I know some of the groups would like to see me get there, but I have gotten to the point where after evaluating the conditional use permit and the applications and seeing what Eric Adams had pitched with the developers themselves, talking about we don't know who the end user, well, not that they don't know who their end user is going to be, it's just that they have an NDA that they can't disclose who that is. All that information's required in the conditional use report. So anything, if they're not willing to describe what's actually going to end up happening there, anything that they've said so far is pure speculation. Like, and people wonder how I know this, right? And so I described it to folks on Facebook yesterday, like, I've been in the legislature quite a while. We've actually created all of these rules that this company is trying to abide by right now. So 2017, we passed a bill, Act 67, that changed how conditional use permits work for municipalities and developers. We said, hey, you know, developer, if you're applying for something and the zoning's in place, you should be able to follow the rules as they're set and they can't be changed midstream. But we also said, developer, if you're going to put an application in, you have to reach substantial compliance. You have to prove that what you're saying to us in the conditional use permit is actually what you're going to be able to, or what you are doing. Can't just be a promise. It can't just be a, this is what we think. It has to be what it is that we're doing. So after going through a conditional use permit, the zoning regulations, and all the information that's available on the city website, strike three for me was just seeing that application is completely incomplete. So I did recommend yesterday on Facebook that the city not grant this conditional use permit for this developer. It just trying to take all the emotion out of it, trying to take all of the angst that people have against each other in the community out of it, and just looking at it legally from the standpoint of, you know, what a conditional use permit is and what it needs to grant and what the standards are, this doesn't reach those standards. So, you know, that was where we came out yesterday, and had I was blown away by the community response to that Facebook post, just to see the wide swath of people who are like, oh, yeah, and, you know, now that you described it in this way, that makes sense. Whether I'm okay with other data centers or not, some people said this, that your reasoning makes sense on this one, because you're right. They're not being open on what the plan's going to be. So, and to the folks that I talked to since then, and it's been quite a few, who say, well, your position should have just been no data centers completely. Like, maybe we'll get there. But right now, we've got to deal with this one. Because the other thing I said in the post yesterday, too, is like, this is 110 years of history on this site. If we get a chance to redevelop and write the next chapter of our city, we get one chance to do it. So I really don't care if the developer doesn't like me. But on the other hand, I really don't care if other people don't like that I'm not completely no data centers right now, because I am hyper-focused on this proposal. And this one is not the right one for Wisconsin Rapids or that historical site.
Well, and you, and Mayor Zacher has said more than once that in some of these chats with the mayor meetings that he's been holding weekly, he said, this isn't usually how we do business in Wisconsin Rapids. But what you're saying is that the conditional use permit, and what he meant by that was the community benefits agreement, just for clarification, where it's putting extra requirements. It's basically requiring them to sign another contract saying they're going to do X, Y, Z. And if they don't, these will be the repercussions. But you're saying the conditional use permit itself isn't complete, so there's no reason why the Planning Commission should approve it.
Yeah, I do have a different tact, and I think that is the more legally binding issue that we have to deal with right now. Is it's, in the end, everybody at the city is right. It is a private entity looking to buy another private site. So I always equate it to, if an individual wants to come buy my house, should the government be able to tell that person if they can buy my house or not? Well, of course not, right? And I think anybody who owns a home would say that. But on the other side of it, a major manufacturer can't just come into my neighborhood and buy my house and turn it into a factory. Right. So that's why the city has the ability to set rules and standards and zoning, and the conditional use permit is part of that process. Mm-hmm. It's an extra part saying, OK, zoning says it's zoned for this. You're right, developer. But we also have the ability as a city, granted to us by the state of Wisconsin, the powers of what we call home rule, where we can set up standards of our own through conditional use. If you're not going to follow what conditional use is, you can't operate that here. Mm-hmm. So the conditional use permit, those standards are very tight now on what has to be told from the developer to the city to get that permit granted. And I just, knowing that there is not information from the developer disclosing who is going to operate that site, what their site is going to do specifically, the permit is absolutely incomplete. And a lot of folks asked yesterday, like, aren't you telling the developer how to fix their application? I'm like, well, no, like, it's not my job to tell them how to fix it either. But, you know, it's just as it stands in this moment before the Planning Commission meets on Monday, as it sits right now, that application is incomplete because there is an NDA stopping the developer from disclosing the information they're required to disclose.
Well, because part of the concern that people have been bringing up in these meetings is that regardless of the city now maybe considering changing the conditional use permit or adding a community benefits agreement, this particular PNK group, because they've already submitted a conditional use permit, that the changes that the city wants to make would not affect this application. But you're saying their application is incomplete, so it shouldn't be considered anyway.
I think the best thing to do for the city of Wisconsin Rapids right now, if they want to talk about a 12-month moratorium, great. But you're right. It would not apply to PNK. If they want to change their zoning regulations again, great, 100% in favor of that. But it would not relate to P&K, because once the developer puts in the application under the rules that you set, they're granted vested rights, it's called, to get that application dealt with according to the law. Now, if the application is denied, that application is gone. At the same time, you can still be working on your moratorium statute. You can still be working on your community benefits agreements. You can still be working on changing your zoning, but you can't do that until you deal with this application.
Right. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay, talking with Representative Scott Krug, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You are listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I've been speaking with Representative Scott Krug, and where we left off, we were talking about data centers and what communities can do to help protect themselves. But with this particular conditional use permit that's already been submitted to the City of Wisconsin Rapids by P&K Group, any changes the city were to make won't affect this application.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. And if you look at the Planning and Zoning Committee agenda for this meeting on Monday,
which is the 10th, see an attorney, I believe, right?
Yeah, the 10th. I'm sorry. Yes, the 10th at 5:30 at Rams. Mm-hmm. If you look in that packet, it's all online. So if you go into the meeting, look at the packet. There's an attorney's opinion in there, about five or six pages. Pretty easy to read, actually, on why certain ideas or processes could work or couldn't work, right? Like saying, hey, if you want to do a moratorium, it doesn't affect P&K. If you want to do this, it doesn't affect P&K. Like, just understanding the law, I think, is going to help people bring down the emotion of this thing a little bit more. And we can probably deal with it a little bit easier with each other if we just, you know, try to really look at what the brass tacks of the application are versus what the law says.
Mm-hmm. Well, and speaking of the law, I know there have been several proposed bills to the legislature that just haven't made it across the finish line. Why is that? Why hasn't the state put out more protections for Wisconsin communities?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, you know, if you work in split government, you know how difficult things are to get done on a regular basis, let alone on a hypersensitive situation, right? So That's why I always think, you know, leaning on the state of Wisconsin to fix all of the problems, or leaning on Washington to fix all of our problems, probably is not the best way to go. I think in the end, the state of Wisconsin will have some better regulations put in place, but even the most stringent bill that was proposed this session did never get anywhere towards a 12-month moratorium, never got any further than saying, hey, developer, if you're going to bring a project in, you have to cover costs, you have to use closed loop. I mean, we try to set the standards that the cities, villages, and towns who have dealt with it since have all used as a guiding path to say this is what our zoning ordinance should look like. Mm-hmm. And I've always said this to people, is that you don't need a bill to become a law to see what the right path should be. And I think AB 840 set a great path for people, saying if you're going to use massive amounts of renewable energy for a solar factory or for a data center, you need to have your solar or wind on your site. We can't spread it out to all these other communities because we've got such big issues fighting over solar and wind too. You know, AB 840 also said, hey, if you're going to use massive amounts of water, it's got to be in what we had thought at the time would be a closed loop system. But even technology has gone so fast that any state law that we set is probably going to be changed by technology, because the water systems are even changing for data centers now. So technology changes so fast that it's hard for the state to react quick enough, where municipalities can have their zoning changed from month to quarterly to yearly, and I think react a little bit better. I fully assume that the state will do something more on it. I think we absolutely have to. But it's the silly season right now, and you're not going to get any movement from the state of Wisconsin during election campaign time, quote unquote, because there's not enough daylight for anybody to see beyond the trees, so to speak, when it comes to Madison or Washington right now.
Well, and all of the candidates that are running for governor have said that they will do something regarding data centers. All of them have addressed it, Republican, Democrat, all of them. And but they're all different.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, on the Democratic side, I think, you know, you've seen Francesca Hong is kind of the only one that has said, hey, let's just do a statewide 12-month moratorium. But even then, I mean, to be fair, I'm just straight up honest through this conversation today. Like, I'll criticize Republicans too, but to be straight up honest about it, when she says, I proposed a bill to do that, she didn't do it till we had already adjourned the session, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if that had come out in January, December of last year, could have had debates, could have had committee hearings, things like that, but it didn't come out till mid-March. Mm-hmm. And then even on the Republican side, where Tom Tiffany has just said, well, let's just get rid of the tax break. I'm like, well, that doesn't really do enough for me either, right? So I don't think anybody, you know, is set up to deal with this on a statewide perspective right now as well as communities can be, just utilizing the tools that they have. And I, you know, and in the end, when the giant conversation comes up, whether we're going to have data centers in Wisconsin or not, I don't know if you'll ever see the state of Wisconsin say no data centers anywhere, ever. Like, even the most stringent bills have said a moratorium. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to describe to people a lot what a moratorium means. That means you're not going to do it right now, but within the next 12 months, we have to decide what's acceptable and what's not.
Right. It's just a pause. And,
right. It's a pause to decide what the standards are going to be. So I've not seen anybody propose a ban on all data centers, right? A moratorium, I can absolutely get behind. I think that, you know, we need to push the pause button, figure out what the right answers are going to be. But to really be behind that, I need the community there too to say, okay, what is acceptable? Mm-hmm. Just saying no is the absolute easiest thing in politics. Just saying no is the easiest thing to do because you don't have to think of how to get to the best answer, right?
Right.
And I don't like doing that because the problems are always going to be there then. So we've got to figure out what it is that's going to be acceptable at some point. And listen, I've also said that I think all of these hyperscale million square foot data centers are going to be obsolete in 5 years. Mm. And the technology is just going to blow way beyond having to have hundreds of thousands of servers within a million square mile buildings. I don't see that happening. That's why I'm extra cautious about building 1.2 million square feet of buildings on that mill site right now, because I just don't see this being the wave of the future. Whether they end up in the ocean, or whether they end up in outer space, or whether they end up being just on a chip that NVIDIA creates in the next 5 years, I don't know if, you know, taking up all this space for all these buildings right now is probably the best answer. So I think a pause is very appropriate. And I think, you know, if the cities and towns and villages deal with the applications they have in front of them, and some might happen, but others aren't, I think if you have an opportunity to say no to one that isn't quite ready, then say no to them and, you know, get all the ducks in a row for the next time around, because this one proposal in Wisconsin Rapids is not the first one.
No.
And I think people forget that.
Right.
And it's not going to be the last one. And each one's going to be different, and each one's got to be dealt with individually. And we'll deal with those issues as they pop up. But to put our head in the proverbial central sands here and say we're not going to do anything ever is just not going to work. It's just not how things are in the real world, where we really have to figure out what the best answers are for everybody. And I think that also includes trying to teach each other how to deal with other people's opinions with respect. Like, that's the part that hurts me the most, I think, in this conversation, is seeing people who are so angry or so, you know, where they'll use a laugh emoji at somebody who's given an opinion, who then that person's not going to give any more opinions because they don't want to be laughed at anymore. Like, mm-hmm. We need everybody's voices in this conversation, because believe it or not, listener, there are still people who want this data center to be put into Wisconsin Rapids. And there still are people who, whether it's not this proposal or another one, want a billion-dollar development to happen in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. Like, we really have to figure our stuff out and treat each other with respect along the way to get it done. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with something you don't want because somebody's going to just be tired of dealing with it and just say, fine, just put it in.
Well, and as you said, treating each other with respect is very, very should be topmost of the mind with everyone as we're having these conversations, because it does just turn people off to being, like you said, if you're laughed at on social media or even in person, it's really hard to have these conversations when everybody's ganging up on each other. And the other
yeah,
thing,
and I think the other part of that too is when there are community meetings, when everybody's yelling and screaming and not letting people speak. Like I don't know how we're going to learn any information from each other, one side or the other, if we're just going to keep yelling over each other or yelling over speakers as it happens. Like, this isn't the first rodeo I've had with this around here, right? This is the same thing that happened during the CAFO conversations, where we just did not listen to each other, and we just, whoever yelled the loudest was the one that wanted to win. Like, we still don't have an answer for that. So if another proposal came in and wanted to take 6,000 acres in the town of Saratoga that isn't already covered in solar panels, we didn't figure out much of anything, right? Mm-hmm. That one just went away. Mm-hmm. So we've got to figure out how to talk to each other, respect each other's opinions, and just be civil in the whole conversation. Like, it's got to be better. Like, I know that there's high passions on both sides, but, and I keep telling people the same thing too. Like, if it costs me my election, I don't care. That is just not any part of this equation whatsoever. Like, the most politically advantageous thing I could have done about this whole thing is just shut up and just sit there and just let the city take the blame. But it's not the city's fault. Mm-hmm. A developer came to a site that's been vacant for 6 years and said, we want to do something. Well, now the city, you know, the planners, the engineers, the staff, the council people, the volunteers on planning commission, and the mayor are the ones that have to take the brunt of it, just because somebody came here to propose something that wasn't asked for. They're not experts. They don't know how to deal with everything as perfectly as some people think they should. I think you got to cut them a little bit of grace and try to get them to understand your perspective a little bit better, instead of, you know, recalling people and shouting them down when they come to meetings. And just, I get it, you're upset, but that's just not how things should happen. So,
and I've heard,
if we all band. Go ahead.
I've heard from leaders, and specifically from the mayor, that he really does appreciate everybody getting involved, and that this one issue is bringing a lot of people to the table that weren't there before. And he's expressed the hope that they stay engaged, because an engaged community in city government will help, I think, personally, will help to better the community as a whole, the more people that are involved.
That's exactly how the whole thing works. All the way back to when, you know, when Carl and I started these tutorials, I call them, back 15, 16 years ago on WFHR. Like, there's been the whole basis of all of these conversations. Like, hey, we're all in this together. Like, it doesn't matter what you think politically of something. If we all agree on something, then let's just be nice to each other and figure out how to each get a win. Like, I agree, this proposal is not the right proposal. Like, this proposal can be dealt with by the planning commission. In my review of it, I am not an expert either. I'm not a lawyer, but I've written enough bills and laws to know that this application just is not complete right now. And it's time that we move on from it, and we try to figure out a way to best deal with our own situation in the city, whether it's a moratorium, better zoning, more conditional use requirements, community benefit agreements. Let's work on all those right now, but P&K is not the one for us.
Well, I think we'll have to end it here, Scott. I'm Melissa Kay, talking with Representative Scott Krug of the 72nd Assembly District. Thank you very much for taking the time today, Scott.
Anytime. We'll see you soon.
And thank you to listeners joining us for News in Our Community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.